I'm here with Daniel Rigby, CFA.
That's me.
We've got Nick Antonucci, who's our research analyst, and we've got our crack. Are you a crack?
Shake, yeah.
I wasn't mispronouncing your name.
No, I know.
Let's get it right. It's Shake Traor.
Maybe you forgot.
Our crack research intern. I think that's part of the thing. Nick, it used to be you that get all the strange names and all that. But anyway, it's Hensel Research Department here with you on our final segment. We've got another question we'd like to get into. Daniel, did you have that international note?
Sure. So Peter from North Atlanta asks, with the ECB now more than a month into a revved-up quantitative easing program, how does that affect your opinion on international investing? If the Eurozone's GDP is expected to expand up to 2% through 2016, should we more heavily weight our international investments? In short,
wouldn't have hurt them so far, would it?
I say yes. I think we should start with looking at ETF flow information.
Okay.
Q4 of last year, the U.S. saw the largest inflow ever in ETFs with $138 billion.
So that's the amount of money invested in exchange-traded funds,
through the quarter. Compare that with a total of $97 billion in the first quarter of this year, 72% of which went abroad, which is another record. So back-to-back records for different things. And if you think about it, the story made sense, right? In 2014, the U.S. had data coming across the board that was pretty good, right? At the end of the year, and the EU was lagging more or less. But now it seems the tables have turned a little bit. Headwinds to U.S. exporters from a strong dollar turn into tailwinds for exporters in Europe.
Right.
Stretch valuations domestically are met with Eurozone trading at a 40% discount to its long-term price-to-book average with the U.S. And looming interest rate increases in the U.S., which you think about all the time.
Right.
Compared with the Eurozone, which just rolled out a new QE plan. So I think all those factors combined for a very compelling story.
It's almost like you've got the European economy where we were, you know, four years ago.
No doubt.
And they're starting their own quantitative easing. You see record low interest rates. I mean, if you look at the bond yields over there, it's unbelievable. The German boon, the 10-year boon, I think it's moved up now to about 28 basis points, but it's been as low as 9 or 10. Can you imagine investing money for 10 years at that rate?
Well, we can barely get over 2%, and we're complaining about that.
I know.
And, you know, lower bond yields have already occurred. MSCI data tells us that 51% of German bonds are trading below zero.
Yeah, and I think something else you have to look at is when you speak about international investing, you can't just be so broad to say, oh, I want to invest internationally, because you have developed markets and you have emerging markets.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, they're going to trade differently. There's more volatility, obviously more risk in investing in emerging economies more so than there is in, you know, foreign developed economies.
Yeah, and that's a good segue, because I think Germany is probably at the root of this advancement. You know, they are the United States' fifth largest trading partner.
Yeah.
They're the largest exporter in Europe, which is a tailwind from a currency standpoint with the strengthening of the dollar.
Right.
Germany currently sits at a 15% discount to the historical PE of the Eurozone.
Oh, wow.
So it's cheaper in that regard. And balance sheets are good in Germany. I mean, German companies have 25% of all European cash on their balance sheets. So solid.
Yeah.
So in Europe, you have a good story. And in that, you have Germany. And I think they complement each other pretty nicely.
You can kind of see things opposite of how we are. So you have multinational companies in the U.S. who are seeing their revenues hurt because they're selling in Europe and bringing that currency, those revenues back in the U.S., and the currency exchange hurts them. On the other hand, if you have, say, a German multinational company who does a lot of business in the United States and is generating a lot of revenue there, when they bring that back to their country, you see the opposite effect, and it's actually helpful to their top-line growth.
Right, and I don't think it's, you know, probably a good idea to invest in a country based on, you know, currency fluctuations, but it definitely helps in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With the German story, so.
Yeah, so 2014, the EFI, which is that, it's Europe, Africa, and the Far East,
is that it?
2014 was down 4.25, 4.25%. S&P performance during that time was up over 13.5%. Year to date, what do we got, Daniel?
Looks like almost 11 for the EFA and 2.3 for the S&P. So
yeah, and that was before the Thursday decline, right?
Sure, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that evidence that at least, you know, partially proves the story that's coming out of there.
Right, yeah. I know we've talked a lot about this, and I really think you get back to the question, absolutely. It's a good idea to have some international exposure in your portfolio right now. We also see they've got an average dividend yield of more than 2.5%, right?
Right, for the EU, yes. So, right. You know, you're getting a lot of cash back. It seems like a good play, I think.
Yeah, and you think about other international investment opportunities like China. I think the Chinese markets are up somewhere near 20% year-to-date.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They've been on a tear, too. And this is during a time where you see a lot of concern regarding China's economic growth. I think the most recent GDP reading showed that China grew at 7%, which, you know, you think 7% compared to our 0.2%. You're like, what's to be concerned about? But, you know, 7.7% was probably the lowest in some time, which was the reading before that in China, I think. So there is definitely slowing, but markets appear to not be too concerned with that news and those headlines because they're rallying forward in China.
Right, absolutely. It's pretty strange to think about 7% growth being a negative.
Yeah.
How in the world?
I wish we had that problem.
Yes. Well, we would probably have a little more inflation, I imagine.
Yes.
Sure.
Well, guys, I think we ought to take a break right here, and we'll come back shortly and talk about some more interesting information in the markets and the economy. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.